think the most important habit that I'd say I have is focusing on sales every day. So every morning, first thing for years, I would have a list of names, which I called my hit list. And they would be a list of leads that had engaged in conversation with me or who had expressed some type of interest in the thing that I'm working on or in some way, shape or form were engaging me with some level of interest and intent and actually responding back in the conversation. So sometimes this list would have 3 people on it. Sometimes it would have 100 people on it. But what I would do is every single morning, and my whole thing was I want to do it before the sun rises, go through that list. Because I know if I have some sales conversations every single day, I'm going to be moving my business closer towards generating revenue.
Hey, this is a quick shout out from one of our awesome sponsors. Check this out. Thank you to Tracy down at Tranquil Turn Massage in downtown Coeur d'Alene. Look, my wife and I, we see Tracy and her team every single month for a couples massage, and it is the best thing. Tracy is a master massage specialist and a Hanu Ashiatsu trainer. You need to reach out to Tracy and her team. Make sure that you tell them that I sent you, and you'll get $25 off your next massage. Also, while you're there, check out CDA Brows, Body, and Ink. Make sure to tell Tracy that I sent you, and you'll save $100 on your next tattoo brows and plasma tightening services. Lauren, you're an entrepreneur, you're a coach, speaker, you're the founder of Impact School, so much more. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I think this is going to be a good time.
Absolutely. I want to get right into kind of making an impact on the audience there. You became a millionaire at 23, but the journey is always interesting to me. Like, what was the breaking point for you during your entrepreneurial journey that really changed everything for you that got you to your first million?
Oh, man, I was somewhat fortunate because I got started on social media when I was really, really young.
Okay.
To the point where I just became obsessed with it and I really understood it. And it was kind of, Instagram was growing up at the same time that I was. So I was able to benefit from getting started early. So, I mean, there's so many different turning points. I can't even think of just one. But for me, the whole reason why I started taking it super seriously is because I saw people who had like a smaller audience than I did or less expertise than I had making a ton of money from selling coaching. And I was like, huh, if they can do it, why can't I? So right. I just went for it and I just got started. And I had no idea what I was doing at first. You know, literally, I didn't even know what even am I meant to do to enroll a client. That's how everybody starts. No one knows what they're doing in the beginning because I didn't do this as a job before. But I mean, man, there's been so many highs and lows since then. So it depends what time frame you want me to talk in.
Totally. Well, that's awesome. I mean, I think like habits are like a big factor in your journey to become a millionaire. Like you talk about these 7 habits that folks really need to inherit to become a millionaire. Of those 7, like which one was the most important for you?
I think the most important habit that I'd say I have is focusing on sales every day. So every morning, first thing for years, I would have a list of names, which I called my hit list. And they would be a list of leads that had engaged in conversation with me or who had expressed some type of interest in the thing that I'm working on or in some way, shape or form were engaging me with some level of interest and intent and actually responding back in the conversation. So sometimes this list would have 3 people on it. Sometimes it would have 100 people on it. But what I would do is every single morning, and my whole thing was I want to do it before the sun rises, go through that list. Because I know if I have some sales conversations every single day, I'm going to be moving my business closer towards generating revenue. So since then, of course, I've trained people to do this for me. I'm not doing this every single day myself anymore. However, if there are seasons where our sales are a little lower than they usually should be, I know that I have a skill and a habit that I can easily install back into my day in order to generate revenue. And so that's probably been the most important skill that I've learned, that I've developed, which is simply just the grind of sales.
Yeah. Oh, so good. There's like so many so-called coaches out there right now that are always spitting out advice there. What advice have you heard lately that you're like, yeah, I strongly disagree with that?
Dude, like, do we have 10 hours? So I heard this really bad thing the other day and it actually made me so angry that I made a post about it. I find sometimes your best content can come from the things that make you furious. Uh-huh. But some guy who has a huge following was essentially saying that he's created a tool which is going to allow anyone who has no knowledge or expertise to enter a few words with AI and it will create an entire course, all the webinars, all of the emails, like everything that you would need to deliver a course to somebody. And like, that's cool. Like, don't get me wrong. That's really, really cool that you can do that. But transformation happens through the nuance and those moments between the notes, as it were. Mm-hmm. So that's where you get the actual change is the slight differences from client to client and how things are applied. That's how you know someone knows their stuff. So for example, if you're just using AI to create a course, then I mean, I could log in there right now and create a course on, I don't know, parenting, right? I don't have any kids. Right. So that's really, really bad that I could go ahead and do that. Because if someone then starts asking me questions like, what do I do if I have twins and my baby, one of my babies will not sleep in the night, but the other one is always sleeping all the time. Like, I don't know how the hell to answer that question.
Right.
So then you have to just always like rely on AI, and then maybe it's not giving the relevant answers. And so I just think it's going to create a lot of problems in the coaching, consulting, info courses industry, which is pretty concerning to me that people are telling people to use this strategy and teach something that you're not actually an expert. That's a big problem.
Wow. I guess on the flip side of that, when it comes to social media, what strategy or platform do you believe is going to be a game changer for entrepreneurs in the next couple of years?
I never do anything that's platform dependent, because platforms can come and go and change all the time. Yeah. So for example, a couple of years ago, I built a following within 3 months of more than 100,000 on Clubhouse. Don't know if you were using Clubhouse.
Oh yeah.
But my audience grew there really, really quickly, right? Maybe it was the British accent. Maybe it's because people couldn't see my face for the first time, you know, whatever it was, it allowed me to grow an audience really fast. Now, suddenly, I didn't realize, but I logged back into the platform one time and I'm like, what the hell is this? And all my followers were gone. And it turns out that the Clubhouse owners, the managers of the business, like, they decided to take a different strategy and they changed it to like a friends platform. I don't really know how it works anymore. I don't use it anymore. But yeah. I prefer a platform agnostic strategy, because I believe that good content is an asset, and an asset can perform anywhere. So whenever I'm creating something, I always do text first, and then I just pop it on every platform, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or whatever it's going to be in 10 years from now. I put it up there. If it crushes, then I'll consider turning that into a video. And then it just allows me to then create little assets, which then I can use again and again and again. For example, I've been really heavy organic for the last however many years, for literally 10 years now. Now, the thing is, I wasn't really strong on ads and I didn't really understand ads and it didn't make sense to me. But I recently said, okay, I'm going to learn. So I got a guy from my team to teach me. And what's really cool is like some of the posts that had performed really well organically, they perform really well when it comes to ads. And so while a lot of people in our industry are getting like webinar registrations for $10, $15, mine's like two or three, because I already proved this with organic and I know that it works. And so now I'm just taking the asset, which is the copy, and now I'm driving that and I'm posting it in different places. So my whole social media strategy, if I was to boil it down to one thing, is focus on creating really strong assets, which can then be leveraged in any way that you want. Because now, for example, I didn't even know that the angle that would be super sexy for my audience is social media sales system, right? Before, we were always talking about scaling a really awesome coaching business that you love. Okay. That was always how we were talking. And then one day we just made this story and it was like social media sales system, reply saying whatever the word was to get access. And it was crazy. Like normally my stories would get, you know, a certain amount of views. This one story got four times the usual number of views because so many people were replying wanting the access, which then pushes it out and it gets your story in front of more people, right? That's just how that algorithm was working at that period of time. And so we were like, huh, that's pretty cool. Now we had a ton of content around that, but we just reframed the angle so that it was more heavily focused on the social media sales system. We took the same assets, the same content that we had from before. We just framed it slightly differently. And it's been really interesting because our conversions, honestly, they've more than tripled since then.
Wow.
Just from that one slight change.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Want to support a coffee company that supports true American values? Then listen up. Blackout Coffee not only tastes good, they are an American family-owned business that is endorsed by people of conservative values all across the nation. Blackout Coffee is all about American tradition, American family, American values, and American rights. Oh, and by the way, they have over 50,000 loyal customers drinking Blackout Coffee, and they have 15,000 five-star reviews. So get your freedom nectar at blackoutcoffee.com and ditch the basic coffee.
Do you recommend using the same content on multiple platforms? Like, would you just like copy and paste basically to LinkedIn, to Facebook, to Instagram, et cetera?
It just depends upon the level of sophistication and team that you have. So I'm never going to be one of these people that gives blanket answers, even if that would get me more followers or more clients, because here's the thing. Like, I don't want to create a client who comes in with this framing, which is like, Lauren said that you should do this. And then they come in and their situation is they're making less than 20 grand a month. They have one VA and they actually have been total potluck in the clients that they have right now because it's all been referrals and their audience is zero engagement and they aren't even ready to start thinking about potentially trying to do a strategy that has videos attached, right? Because they suck on camera.
Yep.
So it actually depends. Like, so there's so much nuance to this. And so the main things that I tend to look to are, who's your ideal client? Because at the end of the day, it's not about you, it is about them. Because if you really want to post on Tumblr, but your ideal clients aren't, you know, teenage girls or moms, then you're probably not going to have much luck there. Whereas if you're servicing and you're offering a consulting package and the typical person that buys that thing is a guy, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, maybe even 60s, well, then you're probably going to do a really good job on LinkedIn. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so then when it comes down to the platform, though, there does become a time and a place where it makes sense just to simply copy paste that content over. However, if you don't have an extra 5 minutes per day where you could possibly do that, or you have this like mental block, which is 100% preventing you from doing it, making you resent doing that thing, then don't do it, right? But typically with our clients who have no team or it's just them and a VA, we do recommend that they take their content and they post it across two or three other platforms. Because again, it's not platform specific content. It's let's build an asset, and then whatever the platform it goes on, it doesn't really matter. However, if your ideal client isn't on there, then you're not going to post on that thing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that makes total sense. That's awesome. I mean, you talked about like scaling your business there. What was the one thing that you did that really helped you scale your business to what it is today?
Finding one person who can find five people. Okay. I read this article one time. Man, I really wish who I could remember who it was from, but it was like, find the one who can find the 10. And so I always think about it like that now, because I'm historically really bad at hiring. I find a lot of entrepreneurial type people are pretty bad at hiring, because you talk to one guy and you really like him and it turns out he's actually just like you, or he's maybe a bit of a sly, you know, sly bloke, and you didn't realize that because you just have like best people's best interests at heart.
Sure.
So when I found one person who's like the operator of the business, she is like super skeptical about everything, whereas I'm super optimistic about everything. And so I need her to be able to ensure that we're not letting in the wrong clients or the wrong team members and everything, to ensure that our systems are being dialed in and we're actually focusing on actually systematizing things. Otherwise, I'm just always systematizing sales and marketing and I'm not focusing on other stuff, because that's the stuff that I like and I enjoy. So I would say finding that one person, once you're at a certain level, you know, a few hundred grand a year is like really, really key. And up until then, making sure that you have a killer product, like to the point where you have one ideal client profile and you're focusing on one outcome and then one way of getting leads through the door and then one way of converting those leads into sales. And really, like, that can be as simple as it needs to be in the early days, like, you know, before that 30, like 250K per year kind of mark, it can just be as simple as that. But the thing is, like, a lot of people, especially the entrepreneurial types like myself, we get excited and distracted and we want to do a ton of different stuff. But seriously, that focus is so important.
That's huge. I know that I have fallen away and gotten out of focus on that. And I'm like you, I'm like, oh, this looks cool. This looks cool. Right. Like, I've definitely fallen into that a few times for sure. I want to talk about leverage for a moment though. Like, how can coaches use leverage to level up their coaching business?
I mean, there's a lot of different ways, but I'd say the primary thing is people and then technology. So systems and automation can happen either through a person who follows a process or a technology which then does that process. So there's kind of two sides to it. So I think in the early days, honestly, it's kind of easier just to get some technology automations in place, because if you don't have enough money to hire a team, then simple things such as, if let's just say, and it also depends upon your business, right? So we do everything through the five areas of scale. Okay, so scale stands for sales, clients, attention, leads, and economics. And so those five areas are the five fundamental areas of having a successful online business. Specifically, my clients, they have coaching programs, or they come to us because they want to scale a coaching program. Maybe they're stuck doing a lot of like one-on-one or agency work, or even one-on-one coaching. And so in order to scale, we need to look at those five areas. So first things first, is like, let's look at which of those five areas is like the one bottleneck right now. If you were to think, if I could only improve one of these areas over the next 8 weeks, and that's all I'm allowed to focus on, which would that one area be that would drive the rest of the business forward? So let's just say right now, you're like, oh man, some months I make 12 grand a month, some months I make 2, some months I make 5, some months I make 15. And it's like all up and down all over the place. Well, you kind of have proof that you can make sales. So maybe that's not a problem, because you're clearly able to convert some sales through the door. So then is it that you're self-sabotaging sales because you know if you make another sale in the month that you made 12K, then you're going to have to do like tons more client work? Well, if so, then maybe your problem isn't lead gen. Maybe the problem is actually clients and how you're serving your clients. So the problem is a lot of times entrepreneurs, before they get a real understanding of prioritization, and another word for prioritization is just strategy. Okay. So before they get a good way of understanding how to prioritize things, they wrongly attribute problems. So most people think that they have a lead gen problem. But in the example I just gave, the problem is actually the way that you're fulfilling to your clients. Because if you had a leveraged way to serve clients, you would confidently make more sales. Because you would know as soon as you get a new client, it doesn't create an extra 5, 10, 15 hours of work per month or more for you.
Right.
You'd know instead that client's going to get into a group coaching program, a scale program as we call it, and they're going to have a leveraged way in order to get results. Simultaneously, maybe you do have the program, but maybe you just don't feel confident in the program and it kind of sucks. So obviously you're going to self-sabotage sales. Now that may not be the thing. Maybe you have an amazing coaching program or an offer that you're super proud of, if it's consulting or agency work, whatever it happens to be. Maybe the fact of the matter is you actually do have a lead gen problem and you just don't get enough in front of enough people each day. So is the fact that you have a lead gen issue though, is that actually a traffic problem? So an attention problem and you're just not getting attention from enough people, or is it a problem with regards to your offer and your positioning? Okay, so we have to look, is it, because that would actually be a sales problem.
Right.
That wouldn't be a lead gen problem. That would be a sales problem because the offer is not presented in a way that makes it sellable, right? So when we look across those five areas, we're able to get a better understanding of what we actually need to focus on and prioritize in order to then grow the business. So back to your original question, which was like, how do you create leverage?
Yeah.
So either through people who follow a process or through a tech that does the process for you, right? But then you want to install the leverage into the area that's the problem. So for example, if your issue was that you just don't have enough attention, then you want to look into how could you create some system that would allow you to get more attention. If the issue was the way you serve clients, then you would want to install a way to serve clients that actually is like maybe more one-to-many rather than one-on-one.
Right.
So it's more just like looking across the five areas, figuring out which one's your bottleneck, which one's the constraint, and then putting a system in place to overcome that constraint, because a problem well solved is a problem created. So then when you fix that problem, it's going to create a new problem. So if you make a killer program, now you might realize that there's actually a gap in your process when it comes to sales, because now you thought you were good at sales, but now you have more volume and more opportunity to make more sales, and your close rate actually goes down. So it just helps through thinking through that lens, because then you can have a more strategic, aka a better way of prioritizing, which allows you to build a better business.
Ah, so good. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, being a podcaster, I've been able to, you know, interview guys like Ed Milet and Brad Lee, but you shared the stage with Alex Hormozi and Gary Vee. You've interviewed Grant and Dean Graziosi and so many others. A lot of people get intimidated when they talk to these high level guys, right? Like, but what's something that one of them mentioned to you that you've like, oh yeah, it was like this eye opening moment for you, like, man, I need to implement this or I need to change this.
Yeah. So I think the person who probably changed the most for me was Layla Hormozi.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was talking to her and I had just hired a business coach like a few months earlier, and this guy had got me to hire like all these different roles for my business.
Okay.
And she just turned to me and she was like, Lauren, there's no perfect way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, there's no perfect org chart. It's like, what do you need as the founder? Like, you need to build the systems around you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I don't think that that's true, because like, why do all these companies have these like specific org charts and all this stuff? And why is everyone telling me to do it this specific way? And so I ended up like having this long conversation with her. And what we got down to was like, I had just heard this marketing message so many times that you need this specific structure to your business, that I was legitimately like brainwashed to believing that so deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I found out that no, like you really can just, as the founder, as the CEO, the visionary, you figure out what are the things that you want to do that you're good at, and then you hire people around you. It just changed everything for me. And so then I was able to hire a different business coach based upon her recommendation, which was incredible, like a systems operations coach. And from there, it literally was night and day for me. So that was really cool.
Yeah, she's awesome. And I used to work for a swag management company that actually provided all their shirts and stuff for GymCon. And it was really cool to see her wearing the shirt that we did for her. It was so cool.
That's awesome.
You do a lot of traveling, a lot of cool things around with your boyfriend. Like, how do you balance work and personal life and self-care? Like, are there rituals or non-negotiables that you have every day that kind of keep you grounded?
So I think one of the really nice things about running your own business is you get to choose when you work and when you don't. Yeah. So like some days during the week, I was thinking yesterday, freedom is being able to go to the gym at some random moment on a Monday afternoon when it's totally empty and everyone else is stressed.
Totally.
I was just like, it was so interesting. Like I went for a walk in the morning and I was seeing everybody rushing around and then I was just chilling, you know, I was just totally chilling. And so, to be honest, no, I'm not a super like ritualistic person. There are things that I do every day, but I don't necessarily rely on them because I don't, I mean, this is something that Layla and Alex talk about. Like if you have to rely on your habits, then I think it's kind of, you know, a dangerous place to be.
Sure.
But no, I mean, it just kind of like, it's like, I would rather have an 80% as good experience and actually have the experience than not have the experience at all, right? Because for example, like if I wasn't traveling, then maybe I'd go on like a couple of vacations each year, okay? And I'd really like fully switch off and not do any work while I'm having those vacations, which that's fine. But I like working and it's not, doesn't really feel like work to me. So I'd probably still write copy and make content even if I didn't have to, which is how I got started. But then again, like, you know, when I do travel, yeah, there are some things that I sacrifice and that I don't do. And there's so many people all the time to meet up with. And I have to say no, because I have boundaries. And so what I'd say is it's more about having boundaries and knowing the things that I'll say yes to and say no to. For example, like my friend on Friday night is having this really cool party for his company. But I don't want to go and stay late and talk to a bunch of people that I don't need to connect with right now. And so while it's cool and while like I'd like to support him, went for dinner with him last week. And so we had a good time there. And do I need to go? No, I don't. And I have to be okay with saying no, even if it might let him down slightly. But at the end of the day, he wouldn't even realize that I'm there because he's going to have hundreds of people at this party anyway. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so it's just like, it's going to take me 30 minutes to get there, 30 minutes to get back, not to mention if there might be delays, speaking to a bunch of people that like, again, for a few hours, I just don't need to speak to them right now. And so I think it's just being okay with letting go of those things, which in the past I wouldn't do that. I would make sure I was at everything, which in some ways I think it helped, but in many other ways, I think I got overly distracted because you know how it can be. Someone sees an idea in your head and then you think that you need to do that thing. But it's like right now, I know what I need to do. I just need to keep doing the things that I'm doing because that's what's going to drive me forward and get me to where I want to be with my goals.
Yeah. Oh, huge. Boundaries are massive. It's such a game changer when people put boundaries into place. I've had to make a lot of changes and boundaries in my life that got me centered into where I need to be. It's huge.
So huge.
This has been an awesome show. I love to finish the show with a fun question, though. I'm a big music guy. So I'll ask the question, like, what kind of music do you like to listen to? Or is there a favorite band that you like to listen to?
Oh my gosh. I literally listen to everything except I don't listen to like heavy metal or sort of techno stuff.
Okay.
But earlier I was listening to some acoustic music by Ed Sheeran, which was random. But then the other day I was listening to some Eminem. So maybe it's kind of like mainstream.
Totally. That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. Then when I'm working, though, I listen to different music.
Okay.
So I love on YouTube, it's called Make Money Mix.
Okay, come on.
It's just this like, it's this 1.5 hour just kind of flowing. I don't know what style of music it's even called. Maybe like chill hop or something.
Sure.
And it just, it's quite relaxing and it just gets you into that. You know, if you're writing copy, putting this on is like so good. It just gets you in the mood, you know? For copy, not for anything else.
Yeah. That's awesome. Lauren, this is such an awesome show. You're an absolute world changer. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day. I so appreciate you.
Thanks for having me. That went so fast. What the hell? That was really cool. You're a great interviewer. Respect. That was really fun.
Hey, if you've ever thought about starting a podcast but unsure where to go, you need to go check out ericallenmedia.com. Click on the resources tab there. I will walk you through how to start, launch, and run a podcast. I've recorded over 500 interviews since 2017, and I want to help you launch your podcast. Make sure that you hit that subscribe button so you catch every show when I drop them. Thanks again. Keep changing the world.